That's debatable.
Welcome to That's Debatable, coming at you from my girlfriend's bed. Oh my.
Oh boy.
We just got back from Chicago, and it was a blast. I'm not a big traveler.
No.
So it's the first time I have ever bought a plane ticket.
Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
Good.
But I thought it was a big step for me as a grown-up. You know, there's
that
those
is a
milestones.
Big step. I kind of forced you into it, I think.
Sure. So this whole trip got started with Kara. Hello,
me.
Kara. Hi, Kara.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I only mentioned I'm from my girlfriend's bedroom. I didn't ever say your name. I apologize.
You got distracted.
I got distracted by your beauty.
Oh, my God.
Kara and her friend Mari decided that they really wanted to go see Hamilton in Chicago. So then I got lumped into this, and then Mari's husband, Craig, jumped on board. And so back in January, it was like, hey, we're doing this thing. Let's start getting stuff set up. So we get to the airport, make it to our gate, and as we're sitting there waiting to board, we stop by Chili's too, of course.
In the airport,
we had to, because, I mean, where else are you going to get to go to a Chili's too?
Nowhere else.
Only the
DFW airport.
And so we get to our gate after that, sit down, and it is time to start boarding. And they have the pre-boarding people. They don't, like, disclose if it's, like, for handicap or special need. It's just the first people up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the flight attendant gate lady. I don't know her name. I don't travel. So I don't know her title, but she goes, Larry Brechtel, it's time for you to board. Larry Brechtel. Very calm, very normal, very, hey, this is your first try.
Yeah.
Nothing for a few minutes. Larry Brechtel starts getting a little angrier.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of patience.
So then they move on to boarding group one.
Mm-hmm.
After she announces boarding group one, Larry Brechtel, looking for Larry. Where's Larry? Then after 2, 3, 4 boarding groups, she switches her tone from anger to a little bit of concern. She's like, hey, if anybody's seen Larry Brechtel, let him know that we're boarding the flight right now.
We're looking for him.
And so we get into boarding group 6.
Our boarding group. We're not priority.
Right. No. Late check-in. So then we walk into the airplane, board the airplane, as I think the travelers would call it. And there's always a baby, right? So there was a baby right behind us, and I get it. I understand. You're traveling. You need to get somewhere quickly. You have a child. What do? Take them on an airplane. Just understand, the rest of the plane hates you. So we get on the plane. Not too bad. Listen to a couple of podcasts from KidNation.com. After we get done with a couple of podcasts, Kara breaks out the Sudoku. Would you say?
Well, okay. So on a plane, I like to, listen to some music every once in a while, for the majority of it. But, sometimes you get bored of listening to things. So I also like to have activities to do. And Sudoku is an easy thing. Like, it's pretty mindless. It takes up quite a bit of time if you're playing the harder levels.
You got to break up the monotony.
Yeah. You need some games.
So Kara whips out her Kindle Fire and starts playing some Sudoku.
Yep.
We go easy.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest level, level one, beginner.
It was for children, I think.
And I go immediately, take, 4 or 5 seconds, scan the whole board, top left-hand corner, that square's number one. That's a one right there, boom.
So I blindly enter that in.
Just how trusting. Now, that says something about our relationship.
Well,
just
it was, as I was filling it out, the rest by myself, I didn't hear any more input from you from that point on. but as I'm filling out the rest, I'm kind of noticing something doesn't seem right here. So I asked you, how do you know? How'd you know that one was number one? And you gave me some kind of explanation. I was like, okay,
no, you see,
that makes sense.
No, there's a one in this row and a square. Like there's another one here.
Seemed logical enough.
Fast forward 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I have not helped with any.
No more.
Not one other square have I put had
one
any
contribution.
And she gets to the end, and she
I mess up because
she goes
because something was wrong. Something was wrong.
She goes, oh, honey. I can't put a three here. They go.
And I feel very defeated by Sudoku. I just want you to know, if I can't solve a Sudoku, an easy level Sudoku, I feel very defeated by the game world.
You spent 25 minutes on it only to find out I had no idea what number that was. What the first top left-hand corner, I said that's number one, and I just said a number to mess with you.
I hate it when you do that.
And that's how I kicked off our trip. We land.
Vacay Trey.
Exactly. Vacay Trey. We land in Chicago, get through the airport. A $79 Uber ride later, it was rush hour traffic in Chicago.
It was not
And
good.
The weather was 56 degrees and rainy.
It was not ideal.
We've got more traffic and more songs coming up for you right here on Chicago's number one hit music station. So we get to our Airbnb after about an hour and 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're driving through downtown Chicago, I'm going to be honest with you. I looked up at these old ass buildings and I go, this place is a piece of crap.
You did. You said exactly that. And I was like, give it a minute.
And give it a minute, I should have, because by the end of this trip, I love Chicago.
It was so fun.
It was a blast. So we get down to our Airbnb, tiny little place that we didn't have a TV in, but that's fine, whatever, we're not doing anything. We get out into the wild. It's, again, 56 degrees, and it is rainy, so it is cold.
It was quite chilly.
Wind is blowing. I don't know if you know this about Sin City. Chicago, Sin City.
Uh-huh.
It gets a little windy there.
That's what I hear.
You had a bunch of stuff planned for us.
I did, and most of them were outdoor activities for the sunshine and warm weather, did not work out for us.
And it's just been drizzling. It hasn't been like pouring down rain. It's just been kind of a constant drizzle. And so we decided, let's give this thing a shot. We're just going to go outside, see how long we can bear it. Go down to Millennium Park, check out the Bean, touristy stuff.
Yeah.
And we decided to start walking from Millennium Park to Navy Pier, which is about a mile and a half.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if you know much about Chicago. A lot of homeless people.
There were quite a few, yes.
And so, there's been all these stories about Chicago, murder capital of the United States and all that. And beforehand, I was worried. I was like, at some point, I'm going to have to protect her.
Aww.
I was up to the task.
I thought so.
Now that we've made it through without me having to do it, I was up to the task.
You could have taken those homeless people.
Anybody. I have to walk past a couple of these tents, and I started to get real nervous.
Did you?
Did my demeanor change at all?
You seemed like a little upset by them, but not in a way that you were worried. It was just kind of like, I didn't want to see that kind of homeless thing. Like, I know it's there, but I just didn't want to see it with my own eyes. But you didn't seem like you were like, crap, I'm going to have to take on somebody in a minute.
Well, I felt like my head started being on a swivel where I started like looking around a whole lot more like, oh boy.
See?
So we make it
maybe
over.
Maybe I just thought you were looking for the cars because we were crossing the street.
Right,
so
okay.
Maybe that.
Yeah, no, that was it.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah. What I thought.
So then we make it across the Chicago River. And as we're crossing the Chicago River, Kara's pointing out, she was like, oh, I signed us up for that river tour where you can watch, you can see all the architectural things. But it got canceled because of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
That's just four of these tour boats go by. And so I don't know exactly why they called it off for you.
I should check to make sure that they actually gave me my money back.
That's right. We get across this bridge, and all of a sudden we hear, and our heads turn around, and it looks like the riverboat has pulled the e-brake on a drift car in Fast and the Furious. And it is full on turning about, I believe is what they call that.
Definitely an about face.
And there's a life raft in the water. And Kara's like, I think somebody fell in.
Well, they started busting out the ladder like they were going to jump in or send someone in. And
at that point, after they got that ladder out, they threw another.
Yeah.
Another life preserver out there.
Something is going down.
And it turned out somebody, I assume it was a drunken idiot, had just thrown a life preserver over. And so they decided that life preserver was so valuable, they had to.
Yeah, it seemed a bit like overkill for a life preserver. Surely they have a couple more.
And they threw the life preserver to the life preserver.
what was the logic there?
I was hoping they were double-decker boats. I was really hoping to see somebody go in with like a Greg Louganis dive straight in with a perfect 10-point landing. Straight in to save somebody.
We watched to see, but no luck.
Moved on down to Navy Pier.
Mm-hmm.
And it is everything that I hoped it could be. I really did. Like, that was when I really was like,
was
this
it really
is a blast.
Was
this
it
is
because
so much fun.
Originally, I named it Navy Peart.
Navy Peart?
Yeah. And you just like took ownership of Navy Pier.
For people that aren't 100% up on my name, Peart, Trey Peart.
That's your last name.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go legal, Richard Lewis Peart the Third.
Oh, man.
P-E-A-R-T. I'm not going to give you my social security number, but you know. So then we make it to Navy Pier, and that's where the big Ferris wheel is that you'll see, and I've never seen a Great Lake before in my life. That was the one thing on my bucket list that I really wanted to do, and it was incredible. There were geese everywhere and just mist coming off of it. I really wanted to touch a Great Lake. Like, I wanted to get down like on the dock, like lay down on my stomach and just dip my hand in, just say I touched the Great Lake. There was no good spot to do that because everything was like 3 feet off the ground. And then we decided that it counted because I got some of the mist on me.
Yes.
Some of the mist was on me.
Mm-hmm.
Make it over to the Ferris wheel, jump on that thing, which was my favorite part of the trip.
It was one of the scariest parts of the trip. I'd say you think that the tents were scary, but
No.
I was scared of
the... Because of the bad weather, we had our own cart.
Oh boy.
You know, we had our own little Ferris wheel cart. So I was trying to pitch a couple of ideas. And that's when Kara noticed the camera. So that got shut down pretty quickly.
And
we went around the thing three times. Absolutely incredible. And that's when I started to realize the Earth really is flat.
Ugh, this again.
I keep telling this to Kara as we're in our little Ferris wheel cart. And she's just rolling her eyes over. She's had enough of my
like
crap.
Like I'm doing now.
She's heard it enough. Stop joking about the flat earth. So then we go to Harry Carey's bar.
Yep.
Harry Carey was the famous announcer for the Cubs.
I only knew him as an SNL character.
Right. Yeah. Will Ferrell did Harry Carey. And so go there, have a couple of drinks, and we had a blast. Do you remember the bulk of the conversation we had?
Yeah.
What was it?
This is what we're going to talk about?
Yeah.
We talked, you asked me how many people asked me if you were going to propose on this trip.
How many people asked you?
Lots of people from work asked me. I would say probably about 5 people asked me, and like 2 people were 100% convinced that it was going to happen.
Everyone at work asked me, and I don't know where they were getting these vibes.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been like, oh, hey, guys, everybody, this is what's going on next. But everybody kept asking me.
Yeah.
And I think they do it just to make things awkward.
No, people think, like, if you go on a trip, I don't know. I feel like that happens on trips. It makes sense why people would think that to me, but I just knew that I was like,
honestly,
no, it's not.
Honestly, you never once thought that.
No,
I really
didn't. I don't know. Like, it was a couple's trip. It wasn't like our trip together.
Very true.
So I wouldn't have wanted to. I don't know. I feel like we would have stolen all the limelight if that happened. And then another couple came in and they're like, oh, well, I guess we just have to be in all their pictures where they're taking pictures with rings and things like that.
I should say that the second couple has not arrived yet.
No, we're there by ourselves the first night. This is how we planned it, so that, you know, each couple could have their own night together, and we had one shared night together. So this was mine and Trey's night.
Go over to a place called Giordano's. Giordano's. I couldn't do.
Oh,
this is my mob accent. Giordano's.
That's not good.
Okay, well, you do it then.
Well, I did a good mob accent, and that.
Okay,
I
do said, it.
I need a sentence. Give me a sentence to say.
Giordano's was delicious.
The pizza was so good. I don't know. I did it really, really good that night. I'm sure it had something to do with the
alcohol
ales we were consuming.
Go ahead. Just say, give them an offer I can't refuse. Go with the classic line. Make them an offer they can't refuse.
I can't do it. I'm a little sick now, so my voices aren't working. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
And you're telling me that's better than mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to make them an offer they can't refuse.
Now you've been
refuse.
Practicing. You've been practicing before this podcast. It's not fair. I know you.
So we make it over to the Giordano's pizza. Oh, the other thing on my bucket list was to meet the mob. Meet somebody in the mob. Chicago's famous for mobsters. Wanted to meet a mobster. I didn't want to do anything.
You had a very dangerous bucket list. I don't know why I invited you.
It's much funnier that way. Okay, so back to Giordano's pizza. And it's got this pie crust with about 2 inches of delicious mozzarella. Mm-hmm. Savory.
So cheesy. Mm.
Then they slather some, they slather some marinara on top of that. Throw a couple of pepperonis on it.
Melt in your mouth
and break out that knife and fork.
Yeah,
which is
proper, not how I that should be the debatable topic of the show, because I do not agree with that form of eating.
That's
pizza.
The proper
Use
way
your
to eat
hands.
When it's hot. Fine.
Okay. For another day.
So we eat this delicious pizza, and our waitress has been so nice. She's let me try a couple of the beers to sample them to make sure I liked them, because I wanted to try a bunch of local beers. Mm-hmm. She let me try a couple of samples of that, and we've been there for like 2 hours, and she, like, and so the other, like, bartender kind of guy came over and gave us our check.
Oh my God, I forgot about this.
And so then I put the card in there, and that same guy takes it away. Mm. The waitress comes back over with our check after it was done, and I go, oh good, I was glad. I'm glad you're still here.
Yep.
I thought you had left.
Yeah. Pretty much just like that.
No!
Too.
I'm hamming it up right now.
No.
It sounded like
in
that?
My head, in my head at least, it sounded just like that. I was like, what the heck is he doing? I'm right here.
Well, she was so nice. I wanted to make sure that she got the tip. But she gave me the look like, I realize you're on vacation, sir. It's not it. No matter how big that tip is, it does not matter.
No. Mm-mm.
So after I thoroughly creeped out the waitress, we moved on to our next event, which wasn't a planned event. We just kind of spur of the moment decided we're going to go see a Second City show.
Yep.
We were going to kind of try to go see a Second City show whenever everything started getting planned, but
we were, Hamilton. I wanted, oh, yeah. So the Second City actual big group only shows on Saturdays, and Saturday was Hamilton night, so I wouldn't have been able to go. The boys were thinking about maybe going, but the Saturday show got sold out. So
then we decided, we'll go see one of the lower tiers.
Yeah.
Still going to be good. It's Second City, the greatest comedy place outside of Saturday Night Live that you can find.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a comedy aficionado. I will watch all the comedy stand-ups on Netflix. I love it. Want to go see somebody make me laugh. Make me laugh, funny man. Make me laugh. I gave you $12. Make me laugh.
Expect some chuckles over here.
Yeah. So we go and see this little performance called Inspired by Actual Events.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go to the list of shows that are on Friday nights, Inspired by Actual Events is about 30 shows down at the very bottom of the list. But the description was like, oh, that's cool. It's got, it's like inspired by celebrity gossip and stuff that happened in their real lives. So we're like, that sounds like it'd be right up our alley.
Yeah, I thought so.
And I was down. I'm in. I mean, it's, again, Second City.
Yeah.
It's got to be great. So we go over there to see this Second City show. And we like see the main stage, and it's a huge theater. And then you can go up one flight of stairs, and it's the second tier of comedy stuff. Right. You know, the up and comers that'll probably end up making it one day to the
main stage.
The main stage. Mm-hmm. And then you go up another flight of stairs, and it's like there's no one. There's no one at the top of these stairs.
Oh! That's not true.
And I was like, what in the world are we doing?
Oh my gosh.
And then after we got to that third flight of stairs, I had to ask somebody where to go. Yeah. And he was like, oh, okay, so you'll go down there, make a left when you get to that other staircase, and then you'll go down a couple of steps, make a right, and then there'll be this broom closet where you're supposed to go into that we hold this this show.
That is not true.
Well, this is what I'm thinking as we're going to this show.
Okay.
And I'm pretty cynical. At this point, going, oh, man, we've made a mistake. But
it's cheap. That's why we picked the show, is because if it was going to suck, we weren't going to be out a lot. Like, it was just a decent price. If we liked it, then great, best $12 we spent of the trip. If we didn't like it, whatever, we only spent $12 on it.
So we go, grab a glass of wine, watch this comedy troupe, get in there, and it is filled with... what I can only assume are the parents of the performers. And they're the people that are, they're the parents, these are the people that are paying for their kids to go take these classes at Second
that's
City.
That's not true.
So, and then the other couple of people are the...
I feel bad. I picked this stupid show and now you're talking so much smack about it.
The other couple of students or the other couple of people are like seem like they are wannabe students or maybe they're students.
They're very artsy.
And I think that they are required to be at the show.
It was
as part of the class.
Credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're the laugh track. They were the laugh track to this show.
You laughed.
Then once we get into the actual show and they start doing it, I got some pretty darn good laughs. They were impressive. Like, they had written everything themselves.
Yes.
And it was really, really funny. They had just stuff from their lives that was ridiculous. There was this one really weird bit where the guy pretended to be a dissected frog. I know it doesn't sound funny.
It wasn't funny.
I thought it was great. See, here's where the story takes a turn, is because I wasn't excited at all. And by the end of it, I was like... Yes! Thank you! I am so glad we went to see Second City.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a long day one, wasn't it? We've been talking for
a
while.
We did a lot on day one.
There's a... I think we have to take a commercial break real quick.
Okay.
Was there just silence? Was that... I'm still confused as to why I don't have my own sponsor for this podcast. So that was just...
What that was.
Yeah, I was leaving a gap for the sponsor, but
no
one ever sponsored. So, oh, anyway, day number two. Hamilton tickets. Do you want to disclose how much a Hamilton ticket was?
They were very expensive. I would not normally spend that much money on anything, but...
It was not Broadway expensive, but it was...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it was New York expensive.
It was more expensive than I...
Especially
would,
since we were in like the very top of the stage, like it was a lot of money.
It is more expensive than I would have ever said I would pay for any ticket anywhere. To the Super Bowl, to the moon. I wouldn't have paid to go to the moon for that price. Before Hamilton, we got to have some dinner.
Yeah.
Y'all get ready for Hamilton. We go to this place called The Girl and the Goat.
Yes.
Which is, I think you know more about this than I do. Stephanie Izzard's place.
Well, it's Izzard.
Oh, I've been pronouncing it wrong.
I think that's how. So I am a big Top Chef watcher on Bravo. Me and my sister watch a lot of Food Network. So we're like wannabe foodies. We like to pretend we know these chefs and we can, I don't know, critique food the way that they do on the judges' tables and things like that. And so we chose this rest. Well, actually, Mari chose this restaurant. And when she did, I was like, oh, that's run by a Top Chef winner. Which,
back in January.
This is back in, well, it may have been a couple months later. Okay. Like, we made the reservations in advance. But yes, it was before we got there. Anyways, so it's the executive chef there. She was the first female winner of Top Chef, and now she's on Food Network all over the place in an Iron Chef.
And so on Saturday night, we go there, and the place is completely packed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the rafters.
Yeah.
Like, there was not a seat to be had anywhere. Luckily, you guys had the forethought months and months ago to get these reservations.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the night after we go there, the night after was the final for Iron Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea. I just knew it was supposed to be some good food.
Yeah.
And so, like, everybody wants a little piece of Stephanie Izard. And so I
hope that's how you say it.
Izard? Izard?
We tried.
It's all right. Stephanie, I know you're a big fan. I apologize ahead of time. We'd love to have you on. So we sit down. It's like a family style situation. And the waiter comes over, nicest guy in the world, and he starts talking to us. He's like, hey, Iron Chef is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And this is Stephanie's place, so on and so forth. And it's kind of a family style thing. Go ahead and order like 6 or 7 things.
Yeah.
And then I'll put them all together for you. And I was like, 6 or 7 things? Like, that seems like way too much. Especially with only 4 of us, that seems too much. But what did we get?
We got some shishito peppers, which are really yummy. We got that potato pierogi,
mm-hmm,
that was so delicious. And we got a deep fried soft shell crab and some scallops and some goat empanadas, and there's something else too, I thought.
Pork belly.
Well,
how could we miss the pork belly? So good.
And then we got a free little dish too. Yeah,
because we
threw it in special.
We were a friend of the goat.
Yeah, we were.
Or at least that's what the receipt said.
That is what the coffee said.
And so they threw in, the guy comes back over and goes, you haven't tried the best dish yet.
Yeah.
So I threw it, I brought it to you.
Yep.
And so we get this free halibut, which was also delicious.
So
great.
Yummy. Everything.
Now we got to get into some Hamilton talk.
Okay.
Because that's when we split ways.
Right.
All I did, Craig and I just went and got drunk. Well, I got drunk.
Well.
Craig went and sat there and watched me get drunk, having a couple of beers. There's nothing really good about that story except for me just drinking. So we're moving on to a real phenomenon in Hamilton. So tell me about Hamilton.
Well, Hamilton is a musical, and
okay,
it's about Alexander Hamilton and, mm-hmm, his life in America and through the Revolutionary War and building the nation and up till he gets shot, spoiler alert, by,
sure,
Aaron Burr, and he dies at the end. So,
okay,
that's the whole basis of the show.
And then how long is the line outside whenever y'all get to the theater? What theater was it?
The Private Bank Theater.
Okay. So when y'all get out there, is it just like a mob out in front?
It was. There were a lot of people at will call, I guess, picking up their tickets. We had our tickets on my phone, so we didn't have to wait in line or anything. So we took some pictures outside by like the banners, and then we just kind of went inside so that we could get to our seats and see how good our seats were, and if we were, you know, we wanted to get some drinks, go to the restroom, do all that stuff. So we didn't really linger outside for too long.
Where were your seats?
They were very high up. They were the balcony, so they
give me like, so I'm in a big movie theater.
A huge movie theater. Yeah. So there's like 3 different levels. Like, you have floor seats, and, okay, then you have, I don't know what the second level is called, but you have middle section.
Mezzanine.
Oh,
mezzanine.
Look at you. And then the balcony is the top. And so we were in the balcony. We were in row E, so we weren't like too far back. There were still plenty of people behind us that we could, you know, feel pretentious to. The stage, or the theater, I guess, was designed so that it was pretty steep, so you weren't having to like, I didn't have to worry about anybody being too tall and me not being able to see. Like,
yeah,
everything was staggered pretty well. And our seats, our view of the stage was pretty perfect. It was a little far, but I don't know. Once the music started and the actors came out, we were in it. We were fully engaged and saw it all.
All weekend, I kept singing, Hamilton,
yep,
Hamilton. Mm-hmm. which I learned was not a song,
not the words
from Hamilton.
It's a good guess, but
so why don't you go ahead and give me a little bit? Give me a little bit. Come on, just a little bit.
I'm feeling a little nasal.
No, just a tiny.
No,
nothing.
Don't you do that to me?
Okay. So was it everything you hoped it could be?
Yes. I think after like the first two songs, me and Mari turned to each other and were like, "That was worth the price right there. Like, it was pretty amazing." Like,
how many people are in this cast?
I mean, main characters, probably 10-ish, maybe. I don't know. It changes to the second half. So, or second act, excuse me. But I don't know. I would say maybe 10 to 15. And then there's a lot of backup, like choreography and just extras, I guess.
Right. You come over after Hamilton
mm-hmm.
to meet Craig and I.
Yes.
I've had a couple of drinks.
This was the drunkest I've ever seen you in our 10, 11 months of dating.
It's vacation Trey.
Vacay Trey.
And so you come over, and I really don't remember a whole lot after that point. I was told there was dancing.
Yeah. Do you remember two-stepping with me?
Oh, we two-stepped?
Yeah.
Was I any good?
No.
Oh.
No, we were both pretty bad. You kept trying to spin me, and I don't know how to spin. I just know the basics. And I was like, I can't.
Did I get angry at you?
No.
Oh, that seemed like something I would be annoyed with. We go home. I pass out.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up the next morning. We wake up the next morning.
Yes.
And decide we're going to go. This is when we're leaving. Sunday mm-hmm. morning, we're going to leave.
It's our last day.
And so we're like, let's go find some place to eat. Get up, put my shoes on. We walk out the door, and I go, what in the world? There's something in my shoe.
Yes, you're stomping around.
And I was like trying to like move it because I just thought it was like maybe my sock was bunched up. So I'm like pushing it with my foot into my shoe more. And I was like, hang on, I gotta open up my shoe. I gotta figure out what's in
here.
There's
like a rock or something. Uh-huh.
So I open it and I pick my shoe up. And this roach comes screaming out at me, trying to eat my tongue. Uh-huh.
That actually did happen the way that you described it.
So I threw my shoe about 20 feet and screamed, there's a roach!
It's really true that you did that. That's a roach! That's exactly what happened.
And then
I didn't believe you. I was like, no, it's not.
So Craig, who's like, I'm sick and tired of dealing with this guy that's dancing with the night before. This guy can't even deal with a roach. He goes over there, takes the roach out, dumps it out of my shoe, and tosses my shoe back to me.
Throws it at your face.
He's just done with me. It is time to go home. That was our last little bit. We're exhausted at this mm-hmm. point. And here is where the trip goes south.
Yep, quickly.
We make it to the airport, and we sit down at the terminal. Up comes a guy and another baby. And his wife.
Quite the delight
they sit down next to us, and I'm thinking in my head, you know people hate you, right? And I'm going back through my progression of, they have to get across the country quickly. Yes, I understand. Yes. It's a thing.
This is part of group travel. You have to deal with it.
Just know, everyone hates you.
So be extra nice to those around you, right? Like, wouldn't you think that that's the correct approach to take if you already know that everybody hates you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and believe me, they knew.
Well, they made sure we knew.
And so we board the plane.
Uh-huh.
And Kara and I sit down.
Yep.
Kara in the window seat. Because I'm a gentleman. Because I'm a gentleman. Kara gets the window seat.
Thank you.
I take the middle, bite the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was quite a bullet.
I'm going to avoid using bad language, even though I really want to. I see this guy stop and put his overhead compartment bag up there, and I just want to hit my head on the seat back and tray
because
table.
Of the baby?
Yes.
Okay.
I understand baby on a flight.
Sure.
Gonna cry, probably bug me. If it's right next to me, I know I'm not the friendliest person on a flight.
Well, the baby was,
And the baby, I don't know what they were feeding this baby, I don't know if they were, if it was like they had just given it a lollipop or just feeding it straight crack cocaine. The baby was fidgety and active.
Yeah.
His wife sat directly behind him.
Mm-hmm.
That would say to me that they probably are in a hurry to get somewhere. Like, they didn't want to take the next flight because they didn't book it in advance so they could sit next to each other. So I imagine they booked this flight fairly recently.
Yeah.
Which means poor it wasn't planning. Like a good fun vacation. But still, taking the baby, got to make sure you mind your P's and Q's. All right? There's etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
I've become an experienced traveler.
Yes,
now, by the
one
way,
trip, now, and I'm, now he is...
I'm now talking like the authority.
Yeah, he knows all the rules.
So they sit down, and the guy still got the baby in the Bjorn.
Mm-hmm.
And the stewardess walks up and goes, is stewardess a pejorative term?
I think so. No.
Is that good?
Yeah,
is
I think fine? Stewardess is fine.
Okay.
I don't know attendant? What a flight attendant, maybe. Stewardess, I guess, is a little... female-oriented, maybe?
Right. And so the stewardess walks up. I'm sorry. The flight attendant walks up.
You would.
The flight attendant walks up, and I'm going to use another pejorative term here. Starts being a... Okay, I'll avoid the pejorative term.
The flight attendant?
Yeah!
No, you're getting the story wrong, right? She was... really nice at first to the baby, like waving to the baby, like, oh, what is smiling at the baby. She just did a little quick walkthrough, smiling, saying hi, and then goes, but you know, sir, you can't have the baby strapped into the Bjorn at takeoff. And then the mom behind us lost her mind.
The mom behind us stands up and goes,
very aggressive.
And the way the came out, you knew it was going to be a bad.
You just knew right away. It was like, she shouldn't have said anything.
You're supposed to advise us of that, not tell us what to do.
Yeah.
And so that started the whole back and forth.
So then the flight attendant got a little more attitude after that, but rightfully so, I think.
So it was back and forth between, okay, well, you're not supposed to have it. The FAA says, don't put your baby in a baby Bjorn. Come to find out later, it's a big controversy online, which you can look up yourself. But the dad and the mom are now tag teaming this stewardess, this flight attendant. And they're like, you don't get to tell us what to do. If we want to have our baby in a Bjorn, we can. If we get in a plane crash and my arms get released, then the baby's going to go flying. Whereas if she's in my... Bjorn, I'll be able to hold on to her still. Which I have flaws with all of that, because if we're in a plane crash,
everyone's going down.
We have bigger problems. At that point, you might as well have me and his baby Bjorn. So, a couple minutes go by. Guy still has a baby and the baby Bjorn.
Mm-hmm.
Flight attendant goes, sir, I've got the... statistics right here for you from the FAA giving their recommendation, blah, blah, blah. Are you sure that you don't want to do this? Or are you sure that you want to keep her in the Bjorn?
Even though it's proven to be more unsafe.
And
yep.
He goes, you need to not tell me how to raise my child.
Yep.
And another 5-minute argument
ensued.
Oh
my God. This is when I turned my head to the window. I was like, I don't want to witness this anymore. We're about to be on the news. All of this stuff with the airlines going on. I was like, where's the air marshal? They've got to be getting escorted off. Like, they were they were shouting at one another. I thought maybe I was like dramatizing it in my head, but I was like getting very uncomfortable by the entire exchange.
It was getting louder and louder. And after about minute 4, in my head, I wanted to turn to the guy and go, take the baby out of the Bjorn or make this a national news story or you're just wasting all of our time.
Right.
I want to get on the news. I'm starting to make my own bits for YouTube.
Yep.
I'm about to be a YouTube star trying to give an eyewitness account of this. It's going to be great. So eventually the guy goes, okay, I'm complying.
Yeah.
I'm complying.
Mm-hmm.
And takes the baby out of the baby Bjorn. As he's taking the baby out, says him on the lap, the baby flings her juice box and hits me in the face.
Yeah.
And then the wife leans forward after the flight attendant walks away. The wife leans forward and goes, honey, would you like your potato salad sandwich now?
That's what you want to hear. That's just what you want
to
hear.
And that was our trip to Chicago. Yay! Thank you so much, honey, for joining me on That's Debatable. Thanks. You want to do it again? Here, let's do an on mic kiss. Mwah. And, well, I mean, since we are already in your bed, I think it's time to start something else.